All right. Well, we've been discussing again through these detours, and I'm going to try to pick up the pace a little bit, even though I say that every Sunday. Here is where we left off last time. We were talking about the role, the marriage roles, and how as a husband and a wife, if the roles are rejected or things are topsy-turvy, and children really suffer from that. I mean, you can look at the statistics even of homes that are absent of a father, or homes where there's maybe not even a mother, or homes where there's constant divorce and remarriage, or just not marriage at all, where it's just live in and out and together. And many times the children are there just suffering. They're just watching. They're the ones that are kind of left behind. They're typically the ones that have to pay the price. And the children can be detoured is what we're talking about. They can be detoured off of the path of even knowing the Lord, or off of the path of spiritual things as well. So here's some things that we talked about with the duties, the marriage roles we picked up here last time. And rejecting these roles, sometimes rebellion in children stems from rebellion in adults. If an adult says, I don't want to have the role that God has for me. It's interesting as, you know, the attend weddings and things like that. And I remember when I was younger, of course, I grew up in a Christian church and home. It was pretty standard to have certain vows, you know, and then in the 90s or whenever people started doing their own vows, you know, you say your own vow to somebody and so forth, which I guess is all cute and sweet or whatever, or a bunch of emotional mess or whatever it is. Then, you know, now it's, they do certain things. And I was at a wedding one time where I was doing the rehearsal, and we were going through the vows, and I was just kind of reading to them what we were going to say. And I said, and you're going to repeat after me. And I went through it real quickly. And when I said that you're going to love, honor, and obey, one of the family members went, huh, we ain't doing it. And I said, well, we're doing that because that's what we, that's what I do. If you don't want me to do the wedding, I'll leave. And, you know, obviously the people that were getting married didn't have a problem with it. It was just one of those relatives that had to be, you know, I don't know. We're not saying obey. Well, the Bible says it. Now, I'm not trying to be mean or, you know, obviously there's a balance there. You know, husbands don't need to be over there, you know, and rip-roar and ordering around like it's, this isn't the military. You know, your whole, your husband and wife relationship is not the military, even though maybe some of you guys are like, yeah, man. No, we joke around about that. Your woman, I'll tell you what to do. You know, we're in front of our friends. Let me go home. Yes, dear. I was just kidding, honey. You know, we like to mess around like that sometimes and things. But, you know, there's love involved in that. And as we said last week, sometimes the husband has to say, yes, we've talked about it. We've prayed about it. This is what we need to do. Okay. The wife needs to obey. The husband answers for those decisions. The wife is going to answer for, did she submit and obey or not? And it's interesting in our world today, we don't even want to think about that kind of thing. It's the devil has gone after the home. If you can't see that, wake up. It's happened for the beginning of time, really. And in our country, it's been very prevalent the last even 40, 50, 60 years. Marriage was destroyed in this country. That's why I appreciate our pastor making such a big deal about it. People have been married for a long time. You know, I serve people down at Gators. We had our opening weekend this weekend, and I enjoy cutting up with people when I serve them and things. And I always enjoy seeing an older couples that come in, you know, and I joke around with them. I say, man, I've been married for 20 years, you know, or we messing around. And they say, oh, I've been here 56 years with my wife. And I love that. You know, and we start cutting up and I tell them how awesome that is, you know, and I enjoy seeing that. That is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. It's rare in this country to even have them last 5 years. And I tell you, it's because, you know, when marriages fall apart, even if they start out, you know, Christian, you know where it starts? Even with young people, we don't, God's gone. And I start focusing on what I want to do with my life, and then she starts focusing on what she wants to do with her life, and it just kind of, you know what's the glue that keeps all that together? It should be Jesus Christ. That's the glue. And we just say, oh, we don't want that anymore because I'm too busy pursuing me. And guess who's watching? The kids. They're just watching. So what do you think they're going to do? They don't want anything to do with it. And so when we take Christ and we take Him out of the marriage and we begin pursuing ourselves, then we reject marriage roles. You ain't even tell me what to do. Oh, well, I mean, just kind of. I tell you, sometimes men, and don't misunderstand me, ladies, but sometimes men, you got to come in and put your foot down. when it comes to right and wrong, you hear me? When it comes to what direction is my family going to go in, are we going to go in values, morality, truth, Bible, right versus wrong, righteousness versus sin? You better get in there and put your foot down. And wife better say, yes, husband, no problem. There should be no arguing and debating about truth. When we start making it optional, when we start, well, he was mean. Well, I tell you what, you know, you better put your foot down about certain things. And you better follow it. And I'm no expert on marriage. I've only been married for 20 years. Some of y'all have been married. You should be the one speaking this, truly. You know, Megan's like, yeah, he should not be up here speaking at all. She'll probably beat me up when I get home. Yeah, I am going to run, Brother O'Pager. You got an extra apartment or something? I may need to. No, just kidding. But you got to stand up and say, you know, this is what's right, and I'm the leader of the home, and I'm not talking about in a proud way, okay? Because that, you know, you can be right and be wrong in how you were right. Does that make sense? You can be right and wrong about how you handle it. And in a loving way, you know, sometimes with kids, you know, you say, now look, I used to hate this when my mom said it. Mom, when I got old enough to ask the why, I'm 7 years old. Why, Mom? What did Mom say? Because I said so. Did you ever hear that one, Caitlin? Growing up, Chris, probably. Nope, can't, don't. You know, or sometimes Mom's just, because I said so. That just doesn't compute with me. I can't process that. What are you talking about, Mom? You know, with kids, sometimes you have to say, because Dad said so, and Dad's in charge, and you know what that means? You obey. But Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. So. Now, when they get older, you know, we've already talked about this, about discernment. The kids are going to start asking why questions. And we better be ready to give an answer. Because we want them to know the answer from the Bible about why things as they grow older and mature. But I tell you what, your wife is not your 5-year-old kid. Okay? Because I said so, honey. Now hold up. You can be right and wrong about how you do it. And so these roles need to be biblical. The husband's role is headship. The wife's role is submission. Rejecting these leads to rebellion in adults. And then we got into this last time. The principles for the family, and I'm going to quickly try to go through these. Leaving father and mother. This is where we left off last time. This is a big thing. This is hard for young people to understand sometimes, but I'm going to tell you, get it now. Get this. When you get married, the person God has for you, and I don't mean this wrong, understand what I'm saying, but this is the way I look at it. I am my father and mother's son, but I'm no longer their son. Okay? In a way. I'm my own man now. I have my own family. I don't answer to my father anymore. Does that make sense? I love my dad. Love him dearly. I texted him this morning and told him, Happy Father's Day, and I wish I could have eaten the blessings of breakfast with him. He said, I just had an Egg McMuffin, son. So, well, I wish I could have flown to North Carolina and had an Egg McMuffin with my dad. I love my dad very much. And we have a great relationship. But I don't answer to my dad anymore. And my dad prays for me. I know he does. But you know what? My dad, he doesn't get all bent out of shape about what I do. You know why? Because he knows I have to answer for it. Is my dad ready if I need advice? Yeah. Has my dad ever called me and said, hey, son, I think you ought to... Yeah. And you know what? I better listen. Nothing wrong with that. But in the final analysis, I have to make the decision for my family. I'm going to leave father and mother. Wife as well. And it's hard sometimes for women to get this. Sometimes I teach in life management in high school. And I tell the teenage girls, I said, don't get me wrong now. But when you get married, it's not mama time. You know, I don't mean to embarrass Megan, but I don't think there's ever a time that Megan has called her mama and said, you won't believe what Adam wants to do. She's never done that, I don't think. Because she knows there would be World War III, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'm not going to have that. I'm sorry, you can get mad all you want to. Wife, You answer to your husband. Period. If you have to call mom every night, there's a problem. There's a problem. Stop. Now, I'm not saying, again, you should have a great relationship with your parents. They're there for advice because they've been there, done that. They've been through the trials of marriage. But I tell you what, when you get in an argument, which is going to happen, news alert, okay, teenagers that are in here, it's going to happen. You're going to get in a fight. You're going to get a little argument. You're going to misunderstand something. You're going to, you know, maybe be on, you know, like I said before, my wife's quiet, but when she's really quiet, you know, me and Seth are joking around and mom's still quiet. Man, I better go figure out what's going on over here and eat a little dirt sometimes. But you know what? When that little things like that happen, you shouldn't be running to the phone to call mommy. You leave father and mother and you cleave to each other. I'm telling you, a marriage will have problems if every little thing, you got to go run to mommy. Oh, mommy, I'm going to come stay with you tonight. Shame on you for even thinking that. You get in there and you work it out. Marriage is hard sometimes. But you love each other and you push through it and you get it worked out with each other. Sorry.
My wife is first on the list. Hers is a lot less than the lines that God gives me as a man. There's a lot more that He requires of me. And I think sometimes our wives get frustrated because we throw our underwear on the floor.
We don't do that. No.
When you do that, all of a sudden, it's hard to honor a man.
Yes.
Doesn't respect the things that
that's being unhonorable. Yes, that's right.
And men tell me, well, my wife has to submit. I said, yeah, to God, not to you.
Yeah.
Her submission is unto Him. And you pray that she will do that.
That's right. Sure. There is leadership for the husband. There is leadership for the husband. But at the same time, it's a loving relationship. We're gonna talk about this here in a little bit. And God has, you know, like I said last week, and that was a good point, we're all created in the image of God. You understand that? We're all created in the image of God. Everybody wants to talk about equality today? Well, that's the equality we ought to be talking about. We're created in the image of God, and that's a saved, born-again child of God that I'm married to. And I'm a saved, born-again child of God. Now, the roles are unequal. The roles are different. Different roles. But equal in God's eyes. So, leave father and mother. What else did he say? Cleave to each other. That's like glue. Okay? Don't go running around and what? Cleave to your wife. And when there's a problem or an issue, you're with her and she's with you and you work through it together. Together. Praying together. As our brother said, say, well, Lord, what did we do wrong? And help us to move on with this. But when we get our P-R-I-D-E, pride, okay? Pride is like a lacquer thinner that dissolves glue, if you want to think of it that way. And it takes that unity and bond together and kind of tries to weaken it. That's what our pride does. We got to be careful with that. But that's what the Lord said, to be bonded together. Then it's, you know, the one flesh principle. Physical union and in the spirit as well. You're together serving the Lord if you want to look at it that way. And then obviously in the garden there was also a fourth principle. There was absence of shame, which indicates that you and your wife have a deep intimacy on multiple levels. Not just physical, you have a deep intimacy together. It's you and her. God made us to be relational. And He's given you a spouse. To experience all those things with, and the real concept of sharing there. Let's move on. Here, let's look at the roles real quick, and I'm going to go through some things that are in here, some verses and so forth. God's marriage roles, the wife's role is to submit. Here's what it is. To follow voluntarily the leadership of the husband, even though this submission may be hard, is by example teaching children how to submit to God even when they don't like it or understand it. You're teaching the children this. Again, we're talking about how can we, if we rebel against God's roles, what are our children going to see? And now this is a quote from Dr. Brock in his book that we're using and going through. Again, husband and wife, yes, you need to talk about things. You need to discuss things. Be careful about arguing in front of the kids. Now, sometimes that happens, right? But discuss things, work things out. It may be hard. Maybe she doesn't understand fully and completely the direction that God is leading, but submission is the key there. Let's continue on. Some qualifiers. What does the Bible say in this? Let's look at some qualifiers or some concepts about the wife's role. Again, she's following that voluntary leadership or leadership voluntarily, and the husband is commanded to love her and lead her in such a way that she will want to follow. Remember, if I'm dishonorable, no one wants to follow a jerk, right? I mean, you know, it's just reality. But you are committed, men, to love her. You're committing, and because you're commanded to love her, so you're committed to that. So you're going to lead her in love, and she will want to follow you and be your helpmeet and go through this life journey and serving the Lord together. So let's, you know, if we're the jerk and not being God-honoring, we're just going to make the issue a lot more complex. So look at some of these qualifiers. First, it's spiritually as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Which means we submit as unto the Lord. It's what God wants us to do. Now, obviously, we're not talking about submitting to sinful things and things of that nature. It's also a moral qualifier. This verse here, we're not going to turn to it, says that the wife should be obedient, yet chaste, which means, to be free from, example, to anything that is an immoral directive. So the submission in the Bible is spiritual and moral. What do you mean by, what am I trying to say with that? I mean, and I hate to even talk about things like this, but it's disgusting what goes on in our world. Heard these open marriage relationships? You ever heard of that? Very prominent in our world today. Like, you would be shocked. There's even certain signs and symbols. Just a little side story, if you don't believe me, it's actually true. I wouldn't recommend looking it up. My brother and his wife lived in a community, a subdivision, brand new houses, and they were at the store and they realized, like, they were the neighborhood, really high-end stuff, and they had, like, pineapples in their grocery carts and pineapples on their front porches. And it was the sign in that community that that is an open marriage relationship, and they're looking for people to share that relationship with. That's our society. Now, it's shocking, but it is all over this country. You'd be amazed. You'd be like, it's insane. Or, like, take it, if the pineapple's upside down on the cart, it means this. And he said, I was just flabbergasted because I was, like, talking to one of my neighbors, hey, what's all this? Da-da-da. And they moved. They moved. Farther north, but that's okay. It's unbelievable. What in the world is this saying? The husband should not command the wife to anything that is immoral or sinful or against God's word. Wife, you don't need to submit to that. Okay, that's a qualifluence. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7 is a long verse we're not going to read, but it basically says the wife should influence the husband for righteousness. You know, I will never forget it. He said, when I first met or saw the woman that I was going to marry, it was one of those stories where he said, as soon as he saw her, he walked up to her and said, I'm going to marry you. And she laughed at him. You know, that's guts right there, right? But anyway, and then they ended up getting married. But he always said, looking back, they were married for many, many years until he passed away. But he said, one thing that attracted me or drew me to her was when I was around her, I wanted to live better. And you think about that. Is the wife influence for righteousness? I'm telling you, that's why God says husband and wife, you shouldn't be unequally yoked. If you've got a saved over here and an unsaved here, guess what's, well, you always hear, wow, I really love this guy, and I'm gonna lead him to Christ. You know what's going to happen? They're both going to go down worse. That's what's going to happen. And any sense of spiritual on the one partner is just going to go right on down. And it's going to be just worldly, sinful, whatever. You ought to lift each other up to righteousness instead of dragging each other down to worldliness. It's that simple. And that's part of that relationship. Do they influence you toward righteousness. Now, we're going to spend some time here because, again, quickly, there's a lot more that we can look at with the husband, okay? He is to lead, but what are some qualifiers? You know where we get these from? The example of Christ in the church. How did Christ lead? Well, let's look at it. First, it's self-sacrificing. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look at that verse in famous passage here. He starts talking about marriage in verse number 22 is where that context picks up. Before, he's talking about, you know, how to walk in the church and redeeming the time and be filled with the Spirit and how to encourage each other, speaking to yourselves, giving thanks to God, submitting to yourselves. Then he changes it over in verse 22 and starts talking about relationships of husband and wife. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's the verse we read or talked about earlier. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's hard for our society to swallow today, to think about. Verse 24, therefore, verse 25, husbands say, okay, wives, you to submit, but husbands, love your wives. And as I said, if you lead them in love, then the submission part is easy. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How do you love your wife? By sacrificing yourself. Now, I'll just be honest with you, I didn't get that when I first got married, and I probably still am figuring it out, Megan, but you know what marriage is? Giving up yourself for the other person. It's not 50-50. That's right. I'm not perfect at it, but you know, there's some things that I don't like to do that sometimes you do. I've learned over a long time, I despise loading the dishwasher. I'm going to tell you why. The thing confuses me. It needs a label. Plates are on this one. Cups go here. Bowls here. I get so confused, all these prongs. I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. And she's like, when I grew up, we didn't have a dishwasher. It was me. My mom still doesn't have a dishwasher to this day. And I'm looking at this puzzle, and I'm all confused because I have an analytical mind, and I'm trying to analyze, like, no, you put a bowl with a plate. That's not the way they built this thing. It cannot be. Megan's just throwing, and they still come out clean. I'm terrible at it. But I've learned to rinse my plate and stick it in the dishwasher most of the time. For every now and then, I forget. Isaac, you're the one that needs to work on it, kid. You know why? Because I've learned that my wife really appreciates that small little thing. She does. It's the little things like that. Or like, well, I don't want to do that. Well, inconvenience yourself sometimes for your wife. I know I've been given silly examples. I know that. But in general, self-sacrifice. Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to. Well, what if your wife would really appreciate it if you did? Then sacrifice your time and energy to do it. It's the little things, because you know what she's doing? She's sacrificing a ton of time and energy. My worst thing that I haven't quite conquered yet, it's transparency day, is we have this nice little garden tub. Megan likes, you know, I'm just a shower guy, but every now and then she likes to relax and stuff. So you know what the tub becomes to me? I'll wear that tomorrow. Get another shirt. I'll wear it for a couple hours. Sorry, it still smells good. I'll wear that one tomorrow. And after 3 days, if I'm going to wear it tomorrow, and then my shoes, I got the paint shoes, work in the ballpark shoes, Gator seafood shoes, tennis shoes, 4 different colors of dress shoes, and they kind of go from the closet to the bathroom back and forth. And sometimes my wife goes in there and goes, one day, I don't know when it was, I went there and cleaned up my area, and she came in the bathroom about had a heart attack. She's like, got to work on that. And but that, you know, why? Because it's convenient for me to throw it there, but it's not convenient for my wife to look at it, right? So it's those little things. And just, well, I don't want to do that. Well, learn to do it anyway. You know what life is in general? Now, I wish so much that young people could just get this. I wish they could get it. I guess I'm weird. You know, it's weird because I don't know what it is. I enjoy serving people. I got down there at Gators. It was crazy. You had 300 people last night in there. Ran nonstop, but I enjoy serving people. It's hard. I want to make sure their drink's full. I want to make sure they have this. I want to make sure they got what they need. I feel bad if I miss something. I just enjoy it. I don't know, I guess I'm weird. You know, work in the Christian ministry. It's not 40 hours a week, people. Wake up. If you're a young person, you think serving Jesus is going to be easy. It's 70 hours a week plus. It's do what you got to do. We've lost that today. When you got young people pull up to the job, the first thing they ask is, when am I getting paid? You're fired. It's ridiculous. My mama taught me this because it's in what your hand finds to do, do it with all, not some, all your might. And I know down at Gators I get made fun of because I walk super speed walk carrying stuff and I'm in and out and dodging people. I get made fun of. That's okay. But you know why? Because my mama in the Bible taught me, do it with all your might. I guess I'm weird. I don't care if they leave me a dollar tip or whatever. I don't care because my job right then is to serve that person. And we've lost that, young people. Well, if I don't get paid X, I ain't doing nothing. Well, then stay home then and do nothing for Jesus. Because that's where you'll end up in life. It ain't about money. It's about service. We've lost it in this culture. We have raised generations of entitled little spoiled brats. I hate to say it, but it's true. You can ask anybody who owns a business around here how hard it is to find somebody, number one, that'll even show up to work. If they even show up, it's unbelievable. Seth, with his job at the pizza, he loves working at that pizza place. Show up and work. That's all you got to do because I'm telling you, the competition is pretty bad. I mean, you could be blindfolded and you'd be a leader in 3 days. Like I told you about I love this story. The manager was like, all right, I'm going to show you how to fill the marinara cups today. So what you do is you take the plastic cup, and he would just went. And she went, oh, he can scoop out marinara and put it in a cup. Because guess what? I've had to show teenager. Now you take the cup, and you scoop like this, and you pour it carefully. Make sure there's no spillage. And then they still mess it up. We have lost this service mentality. Because we think we're entitled to everything. Sure, some jobs are hard, and you know, people like Kenny out there working in the sun, beating down on him up in the top of a tree, and or working on lawns, right, Eli? It's hot out there and stuff. But you know what you gotta do? Young people, you gotta get in there and tear it up. It's that simple. You're young. I wish I could still tear it up. My body's telling me to stop sometimes. But, you know, you got to get up there and you just got to work. Chris gets happy when he sees young people in the concession stand that actually don't have to be handheld the whole time. You know, he used to joke around with me about that when I first came here. I wanted to make sure I did it the way Chris wanted it, you know, and I'm in there painting or doing tile. And I was like, I just didn't want to do it a way that Chris didn't want it. And then Chris would be disappointed in me. That was literally my mindset. So I'd be like, Chris, come look at this. And he'd come over there. He'd come up behind me, I'd be down doing tile or something, he would just go like this and grab my hand. I was like, what are you doing? He said, I'm holding your hand through it because apparently that's what you need. And I was like, oh, man, you got me. It's so crazy. But, you know, I wanted to do it right. But anyway, sometimes you have to hold hands with these teenagers. All right, now, there's the fry. I mean, it's not rocket science to put fries in the grease, you know. Yeah. Show some initiative and serve. I'm getting off on stuff because, you know what, that's marriage. Serve your wife. She's going to serve you. You ought to help her every now and then. Or maybe more, not now and then, right? Only for you, Megan, every now and then. But no. You know, it's giving up yourself for her, and she's giving up herself for you. It's the way God intended it. And you know, when your kids see that, they're more likely to serve the Lord. We teach our kids inadvertently, unintentionally, not to sacrifice for anything. This generation, you just give whatever you want. Yeah, yep, 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 yep. Where's the missionaries at? Where's the young people that want to go to missions? Oh, that's too hard. I'll have to sacrifice. So? I can't get off on this. Anyway, we got to continue. Here's another one. Listening. Listening? Yeah, what, honey? Yeah. I guess I have bad hearing sometimes. I don't know. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Megan comes in and we're watching a game or, you know, basketball game or something. The TV's on 100. Megan's like, what are y'all doing? I can't hear it. And she's over there, you know. I guess I have selective hearing, right? Is that what it is? Honey, I never heard you. You know, that's what the kids say. Mom, I didn't hear you say that. Yeah, I told you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, now we're going to hear something really good. Anyway, again, we're modeling after Christ. So what does Christ do for the church? That's what we ought to do with our wives. Is that not the biblical example? Christ and the church. So self-sacrificing, next is listening, chapter 7, verse 25 of Hebrews. Listen to this. Wherefore, he is able, this man, because he continues to ever hath an unchangeable priesthood, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them. Christ is praying for us. He's listening and he's praying. And that's what we ought to have, that same mentality. He listens, he feels. The Bible even says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, or verse 15, we have a high priest which can't be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have not a high priest that can't be touched. In other words, we have one that can be. He was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So come boldly before the throne of grace, because he's going to listen to you. Christ listens to his church and then intercedes. We also should be listening. Another one, what about providing? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Let me read this verse to you real quick. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Jesus Christ. God is going to supply the needs for the church. Husbands, what should you do? Provide. Provide. You know, and there's nothing wrong with, husbands and wives work or not work, whatever. That's the decision of the family have to make. But, you know, it's different if it's like, well, I don't need no man. I don't need me. Okay, well, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Or that, you know, I don't know. We've never been like this, and if some of you are, that's fine, I guess. But, you know, we ought to have separate bank accounts, separate money, separate everything. Where's the unity if you do all that? We've always had just one measly bank account with a couple decimal points. And, you know, I got to have my own. And I've seen that happen. And I've just got mine, and I pay my bills, and he's got his, and he pays his bills. And that I've seen that lead to problems. I'm not saying it's wrong if you don't. That's fine. It's just a little tiny thing. But the husband should be providing. Well, I made that money. For what? Bible says if you don't provide for your house, you're worse than an infidel. That's a pretty big deal. God takes that pretty seriously. So you better provide for your family. And I'll tell you what, and God's blessed us, hasn't he? Not only are we able to provide for our families, we get to go do fun things with them. We get to, I don't know how much longer in this country we're going to be able to do things and drive to Walmart and you spent $50 just to get there. You get to do things together and enjoy, provide for your family. And yes, God even has allowed us to have not just the needs, but also the wants. And he's good to us. What about this one? Cherishing and nourishing. Ephesians 5 says this. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh. You know, they have that like survival instinct, you know. If you're being hunted or chased, or you feel like you're going to be killed or apparently or whatever it is, and they say you just fight for your life, and it comes out, you know. You don't hate yourself, but you nourish, and some of us might be nourishing a little too much. Nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Nourish and cherish your wife, because that's what Christ does for us. Cherish means to keep warm. It's the idea of a nursing mother that cares for her child. The opposite of cherishing is neglecting. Don't neglect your wife. Be living your own world out there and neglect your wife. And nourishing means to feeding, or the basic ideas of shelter and food and all those things that we talk about. And then we'll stop here with this one, and we have to stop. And I'll finish a couple other. Here's another one. This is important. James chapter 4, 4 and 5. You know what Christ and the church is? It's an exclusive relationship. And that's what it should be, husband and wife. The Bible says there, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Christ wants you exclusively. Not you plus world. You plus what I want to do. You plus all the things that make me happy. It's not what life's about. Life's not about, you know, you getting yourself happy. It's about serving the Lord as a Christian. That's what life should be about. So if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. And so Jesus wants no object or competition, and that's the way it should be, husband and wife as well. There should be, it's an exclusive relationship. And again, our world teaches it doesn't matter. And you can divorce, you can do all this other stuff, you can just, who even needs marriage? Just whatever. And it's sad that we're coming to that. But children see this. And when we abdicate our roles, then our children will be more easily led to a path of rebellion. All right, we have to stop. And next week, we'll finish this up and get into the fifth one, which is going to be a tough one. Disbelieving practices. Practices where we as parents say one thing and then do another. We act this way here, but we do this over here. Guess who's watching? The kids. And it will detour them as well. Father, just thank you for your love and for the time we've had this morning. Help us, Father, in our marriage relationships to truly seek to emulate Christ in the church. And thank you for that perfect example you've given us. Bless each of our homes, Lord, and bless our fathers, our dads that are here today. Just thank you for them. Continue to bless them as the leaders of their home. And give us a good service now in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.